This is episode 237 on January 11th, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I'm Dave Podner.
I'm Greg McMillan.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
And we're back. Don't anybody touch anything. Don't fiddle with anything. If you're driving, just keep driving. If you're touching your phone, be very careful. This podcast may fall through. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't touch that aluminum foil on the rabbit ears.
That's right. Yeah, hold still. Oh, right there. Okay, we're good. Oh, talk about nonsense. Well, sorry for last week not having a show, but and we almost had the same issues. Well, we did have the same issues this week. Yeah. We're having to piece together the podcast because none of our normal conversation hangout type deals is working correctly. So we're actually using two different services to piece this thing together. So thank your lucky stars. How are you guys doing? We'll start with you, Dave.
Well, I have a public service announcement for everybody.
Okay.
If you have a cold, suck on the cough drops.
What is everybody else doing?
Well, I unfortunately, the ones I was using had the liquid center, so I decided to chew on it.
Oh.
And then it got stuck to my tooth.
Oh, did you lose a filling?
It came off eventually, but while chewing soft, warm broccoli, I cracked the wisdom tooth.
Ooh.
And I'm trying to remember because it's been last week, the day before the podcast, they had to have a wisdom tooth extracted.
Ooh, yeah.
And then I got dry socket because it didn't heal properly. So my doctor now has me hopped up on penicillin and as a antiseptic and light painkiller, put a packing with clove oil in my tooth.
Nice. Yep.
So I didn't realize clove oil was a way to stop the toothache, but I'm glad it is. It's just that I have this light taste of clove in my mouth all the time now.
I had that like 21 years ago.
Yeah.
When I had my teeth pulled.
Apparently I'm a late bloomer with the wisdom tooth because I had my first wisdom tooth pulled 2-3 years ago, and this is the second one that went. But yeah. I made it to my 40s with all my wisdom teeth in.
Wow.
But other than that, surviving, and other than getting over the cold and having teeth issues, doing great.
Good. That's good. How are you doing, Greg?
I'm doing well. Enjoying the mild weather we're having this week. It went up. Warm enough to get some rain and melt some snow, but the sad part is it's not good for photos that way.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, we had some very, well, I guess a lot of, most of the northern United States had some very cold weather. So you can imagine what it was like up here in Canada.
Yeah.
And, but it's a lot more tolerable now, but it's going to dip that back down again. So we'll see what happens. But when Dave mentioned clove oil, we get these, you know, these essential oils, and I put clove oil back on the back of my tongue when I get an asthmatic cough, and it just seems to stop it.
Huh.
So it's good stuff, but I didn't know that about a toothache.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. We don't have those medicinal, oils down here in South Carolina. I'm just kidding. But
you guys probably don't even need them.
We got the good stuff. No.
Yeah, say, no one here is in Colorado, so no one's got the really good stuff.
No.
Well, California just went legal, did they not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah. But anyway, it's been less than stellar for shooting anything. I haven't really taken any photos in the last week, so hopefully brighter days ahead.
Yeah, hopefully. How are you doing, Matt?
I am utterly amazing.
Yeah, you are utterly amazing. No, how have you been?
Oh. no, I've been just dandy. I don't know, taking pictures. I got my new Moment wide angle lens and a Moment case this week, so I've been enjoying that.
Nice.
And yeah, that's pretty much the gist of what I've been up to.
Very cool. Yeah, I've been see, what did we have? So last week it was New Year's Eve that I actually took some pictures with some friends of ours. Their 2-year-old needed some pictures, and I had done his one-year pictures also. And I think this is going to be a little bit of a pattern, a theme. So I had a little bit of fun. I didn't do it with my iPhone. I did it with my DSLR, and so I have I'll probably in the next time pull out the iPhone and take some pictures. I didn't this time mainly because I was so focused on what I needed to do. I didn't think to grab my phone and just start taking some pictures. Just playing with that. My kids have a birthday party coming up this Saturday, and so I'll be taking some pictures then, doing some video. But I did take some pictures of our Royal Ranger group. We had the boys, I told them to say, all right, stand around. I have a rope machine where we can take twine and make rope out of twine. And so I had taken a video of me doing it while they kind of watched and got to do it. But then this last Saturday, they had to do it themselves for the most part with my help. And so I got them all together halfway through the process. All right, everybody gather around. I'm going to take a picture. And of course, my son and one of the other boys decided that they were going to be cool and strike a pose. And I didn't see it until afterwards. And, so just kind of goofing around, doing that type of stuff. Something that the boys will be able to look back at later on in life. Cause I sent the picture on to, the other boy's mom so that she could have it also, but just kind of doing little stuff here and there with, life in general. I haven't, like everybody else, the bitter cold has been rough. It's hard to go outside and actually, take some pictures where you want to without, freezing to death. We'll see. We're looking forward to those warmer days. So, all right. Well, I have to say, I'm just thankful that we're doing a show right now. Last week was frustrating, and this week was starting to get there, but we're able to make this work. But let's go ahead and we're going to keep this simple this week and kind of talk about some stuff. And Matt, I thought we would start with you and kind of get a glimpse into that Moment lens setup that you got.
All right. Yeah. So basically I got the Moment wide angle lens and a case for my iPhone X. The case is necessary because that is the only way to mount the lens to the phone. So the case is pretty basic. It's just a somewhat thin, just a very basic case. The one I got kind of has like a wood grain pattern on the back. It looks nice. It's, reasonable protection, I suppose. You can mount the lens to over the wide lens or the telephoto lens on the on the iPhone. But the interesting thing there is, for some reason, the wide angle lens does not work with the telephoto lens on the iPhone.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why, but if you put the wide angle lens over the tele lens and then select, you know, the 2X in the camera app, it's just black.
Huh.
And I don't know.
That's
don't...
because the native camera lens in the iPhone.
Oh.
What it does is it uses, like, if it was really, really bright light, it would probably work. But when there's not sufficient lighting, then it zooms the wide angle lens and utilizes the telephoto lens in the central region of the image to help with a bit of sharpness.
Gotcha.
So to do that, you have to use an app like Halide or Pro Camera where you can manually select the lens and it will select that lens. Like, so say you were in Halide and you put your wide angle over the tele of the phone and you selected the tele in the app, then you would be able to see. That's something that I've discovered.
Well, the other thing I noticed was that, you know, if I have the wide angle lens, the moment lens rather, just, you know, mounted over the wide angle lens, like you normally would, if you select the telephoto lens, the spacing is such that you can't use both lenses at the same time. And I thought you had mentioned that with your phone, you were able to use the telephoto lens and not catch any of the moment lens in the frame.
No, that never worked for me.
Oh, really? Okay. I thought someone said that they could do that, but I was like, wow, that would be interesting because it sure looks like the moment lens covers the telephoto lens, and it does.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes portrait mode unusable when you have a lens attached.
Yeah. But, not really a big deal. You could always just, you know, take the moment lens off. It's not very hard to twist it on and off. It is a lot bigger than the original version.
Like how much bigger?
I, 50%. No, not 50%, but maybe like 30% bigger. It's noticeable without
it's noticeable
doubt.
And it's got some weight to it as well.
Yeah, it's a big heavy hunk of glass and metal without
like
a doubt.
It barely fits in the little pouch that they give you.
Yeah, you do kind of have to work to get it in there.
Yeah. And it comes with a lens cap, whereas before the old ones didn't. Wow. They didn't come with a lens cap.
Yeah, about to say, when they showed the pictures on the website and they showed the lens mounted on their case, it looks absolutely mammoth. And completely unbalanced when they do a side shot. You have this thin phone and the lens looks around, you know, lens and body looks around 3 to 4 times bigger, thicker than the phone itself.
So I think this stuff came on Monday this week, and on Tuesday I was going to be traveling for work, and I was going to be driving by a town that has a train depot, like museum kind of thing. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to stop there and take some pictures of some of the trains that they have.
Oh yeah.
On the tracks that are on display. And so that was like pretty much my whole plan right there. Well, I was driving from basically a meeting that I had traveled to, and I was driving back towards this train museum, and I saw this abandoned gas station on the side of the road. So I made a U-turn.
Nice.
And came back to it, pulled off the road, and you know, there was like nobody there. There was like some businesses that were like across the street from it, but you know, nothing was going on at this gas station. Kind of like the windows are busted out. There was no door on the building. So I spent, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes there maybe just shooting. And I thought, what a neat subject to you know, get to play with this new lens and test it out. And I went in the gas station, which maybe wasn't the best idea. It was pretty gross inside, a lot of trash and who knows what else on the ground or whatever. But I got a few pictures I thought were interesting. I think I posted them in our Facebook group. And I shot all the pictures with the Halide app and, you know, shooting in RAW. And, you know, I've been shooting with this app for like a little while now. And whenever I would look at the photos, like in the Apple Photos app, like they always looked like decent or whatever. But like, I know that you're looking at a, like a JPEG basically in the Photos app. You're not looking at the RAW, the actual RAW image. So these particular pictures, I'm looking at them in the Photos app, and I know they're JPEGs, but I was like, what is wrong with these pictures? They look truly terrible. Like, they look like they were like out of focus and just really like weird and crunchy and like artifacty and stuff. And I was like, is there something wrong with this lens? Like, what in the world is going on here? So that evening, Tuesday evening, I loaded one of the pictures up in this, I have this app that's called RAW Power.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's pretty much a RAW editor. And when the picture would load in, it still looked all crunchy and crazy and weird until I hit the edit button. And then once I hit the edit button and went into like the editing mode in the app, then it kind of switched to like the actual like RAW file, and everything was like tack sharp and super, you know, it wasn't awesome looking because it needed to be edited, but it was nice and sharp. And I was like, oh, okay, there we go. The lens is working just fine.
So it was just the rendering of the RAW image so that you can view it that was messed up. It wasn't actually the image that was messed up.
Correct. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was like the first I'd ever noticed like how bad those like little lower res JPEGs look. It just, I was like kind of looking at the full image and I was like, it kind of looks weird. So I like zoomed into it and I was like, oh my goodness, it's like all fuzzy and blurry and stuff.
Well, I think you're actually looking at the RAW file in the Photos app because it does display them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, if you check the metadata on that file, it would probably say it's like 600 and some pixels by 800 and some pixels, and it's a DNG file.
Well, it does something to them because it doesn't show. When you just take a picture in RAW and then look at it in the Photos app, there's still some sort of like processing that has happened to that image that you're viewing in the Photos app.
Yeah, it has to process it somehow to be able to see it, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, because basically the tones are like a little more balanced and the colors are a little more saturated than the true RAW file.
Yeah.
Anyway, this RAW stuff is pretty interesting on the iPhone. And last week, Greg and I talked at length about it, and I'm sure we'll talk about it. I don't know if we're going to talk about it today or on another show, but Greg's been very helpful in reaching out to some of the app developers, and we're trying to really nail down exactly how to use RAW on the iPhone because it's a little confusing right now.
Yeah, like just to give like a 30-second recap on this, what Matt was seeing is, and myself too, is we would take a photo with Halide and we'd have it set to shoot RAW and processed JPEG together. And then when you open the image in Darkroom, it's just a JPEG. There was no sign of a RAW file. And Halide creates a folder called RAW and that it appears in darkroom. I don't know if it appears anywhere else even, but anyway, the images in that folder, on my phone anyway, they were JPEG. They weren't RAW at all, and you know, I checked the metadata on them.
Yeah.
Generally, if you took a RAW image, it would have a badge on there that said RAW.
Yeah.
That's how you'd know the difference. So I reached out to Halide and to Darkroom in the same email, and I basically gave them an outline of what I was looking at, and kind of summed up the email to say that I think it's Darkroom that has the issue. I don't think it's Halide with shooting the two file types together. And then I did hear back from Darkroom, and they said that there's an update coming that will distinctly show the two different files, and something to do with how it splits them up or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So,
cool.
You know, hopefully that update comes out, you know, in good time. But they recognize that there's an issue there anyway, and so that was good. So that was kind of the meat and the potatoes of the issue that Matt and I were running into. And you know, it was getting frustrating because you get a photo that you think is really good, that you know, that you can work with the RAW, and in darkroom at least, and it doesn't even show up.
Yeah.
But I should note that in Lumavee, it did know the difference between the two. Shot in Halide, shot in both formats at the same time, and then you open it up in Lumavee, and when you go to make the edit, it said, oh, would you like to edit the original RAW or the processed JPEG? So, you know, that's, you know, that I thought that was interesting, because, you know, Darkroom and Halide, they've been having a little bit of a friendship on Twitter about how they, you know, people are using Halide and editing in Darkroom and really liking what they see. And Darkroom is a nice app, but with this inability to split the two images up, that's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's plenty of other apps out there, still editing with ACDC Pro. And I do like this app called Raw Power. So I edited all the pictures that I posted from this little abandoned gas station with that app. And but then I also ran them through Filmborn, because there was actually a film preset that I thought looked pretty good.
The Fuji one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It looked pretty good, and Filmborn is a really awesome app. If you haven't checked that out, I highly encourage it. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So cool. Yeah, I don't know. That's that is literally what's been consuming my time. I actually want to say one other thing real quick regarding our Instagram page. So, however long ago, back in the summer or whatever, when I decided I wanted to take a little break from the podcast, up to that point, I had been kind of, if you want to call it, managing our Instagram page. I'd been posting the post pick of the week winners to our Instagram page, and you know, trying to do that every week. And when I stepped aside from the podcast, I kind of also stepped aside from the Tiny Shutter Instagram page. Well, now I've kind of weaseled my way back into the podcast.
you didn't weasel your way back in. You never left.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Matt, real quick, are you talking Flickr or Instagram?
Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah, I still don't care about Flickr.
Okay. I know you did that for a little bit.
I could touch on that in a second, too. But anyway, I've been thinking a lot lately about how I really need to stop being lazy and get back to, you know, sharing the post pick of the week winners and possibly really just sharing other photos that are tagged with Tiny Shutter, and making our Instagram more of like a feature kind of page and kind of posting more than once a week. And I don't know what I'm like, why I'm dragging my feet on it, but I have been thinking about it a lot, like the last few weeks or so, and even leading up to the new year, I was like, you know, once January 1st starts, I should really like, it should be almost like my resolution. I should start, you know, doing the Tiny Shutter Instagram thing again. And I still haven't done it. And today somebody asked me about it on Instagram. One of our listeners threw some compliments at me, told me he loved the show, which was pretty sweet. And then asked, did he miss something? Like, how come we're not doing the Tiny Shutter Instagram page? And I basically just told him, no, you didn't miss nothing. I'm just lazy. But I've been thinking about doing it, so I will do it.
Well, I support you 100%.
I know you do, because you don't have to do anything. So, but yeah, so we'll get that going again. I'll try to do that. Maybe this week, within the next week or so, we'll get that rocking and rolling. And I think what I might do is I think in addition to sharing the post pick of the weeks, I will also share all of the post picks of the week from when I stopped doing it to the present, so that,
oh wow, yeah,
everybody gets, I mean, I'm not going to do it like all at one time, but it's going to be over the course of, you know, several weeks or maybe even months, I don't even know. And then after that's kind of caught up, then I'll start turning the Instagram page into more of like a feature page featuring, you know, photos that are awesome, that have the Tiny Shutter hashtag. But I will be studying those pictures and making sure that they are smartphone pictures and not DSLR pictures or anything like that. You know, I want to see iPhones and find Pixel XLs and whatever other phones you people have.
Android.
But Dave, you mentioned Flickr. So Flickr, I hate to say it, I just don't care about Flickr. I just really don't. And I feel bad because someone also messaged me just at some point this past week saying like, hey, you know, I've been wanting to join the Flickr page. You know, what's the deal? How can I join? So I went on there and sent the person an invitation. And then I saw there was like a handful of other people from like months and months ago that requested to join. And I haven't been on Flickr in ages, so I never seen these requests. So I approved all them. So I don't know what I'm going to do about Flickr, because I really don't want to go in there and check on it, but I might have to.
Well, yeah, it's also a matter of having not enough focus, if you will, between Instagram and the Facebook group, which is doing amazingly well. There's only so much time and effort you can actually put, you know, forward something. And the way Flickr is, it's kind of dropped off the map for everybody.
Yeah, I think for me, the whole Flickr thing would be different if Flickr had like a good iPhone app that worked well with groups. So that's always been like the issue with it. Like if you just want the Flickr app and you just want to like post pictures to your Flickr page, the Flickr app's fine for, you know, looking at pictures and posting pictures. But if you manage a group, it's pretty much worthless. And so it's like I have to, you know, make sure that I set time aside to sit down at my computer, you know, to get on Flickr and manage the group on my computer, which is not really a hassle, I guess, but it's like I could do everything. Yeah, I could do everything else from my phone, and now I have to remember to do this one other thing from my computer. So it just kind of turned me off, and I think Instagram's a lot more fun than Flickr. Yeah. Flickr to me just feels kind of like tired and old, and I don't know. It's just not. When people talk about photo sharing, it's kind of like, oh yeah, and Flickr.
Yeah, well, especially since Flickr, as part of Yahoo, got bought out by Verizon. I really don't have a lot of hope for, you know, a new app or a better app or.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what could happen to it? Like, Verizon could pull the plug on it tomorrow. And honestly, they should.
Yeah. Well, Flickr was the social media for photographers.
There was a time, 2009, 2010, when I loved Flickr.
Yeah.
And I spent way too much time on it.
Yeah.
But that's past. And Instagram is kind of where everything's at right now. And that's what I'm going to focus on.
Yep. That's good. Speaking of, I just wanted to, go along the same vein. I forgot to, with all the nonsense that we've been dealing with the audio part of the show, I forgot to mention that we're going to push our Patreon because I had a conversation with Mark, and Mark was going to try and be on, but he couldn't make it. He wants us to have the Patreon to help with some sort of like better equipment. Lately, we've been doing our part to try to bring the audio quality. And, you know, Skype's not helping, but, we've purchased our, microphones, and we're trying to get to a point where, our audio sounds, really good. Like, sometimes we'll have, I think Matt, you said like, it sounds good on my, when I'm talking, but then, was it, you sound like you're in a room where there's a lot of echo or something like that. But what we're going to try and do is, try to bring up the quality value of the show. Mark and I had a good conversation, and we're going to try and do stuff to, kind of get things rolling a little bit better. That was, I think, one of Mark's resolutions for this year, but everything's been going pretty good. We have 1700 people in our Facebook group now, Matt?
Yeah, as of today, yes.
Yeah, so that's awesome. That is very encouraging for us, to see everybody who's joining and participating. I really am thankful for that aspect of it, because it helps us, it gives us good motivation to try to step up our game. And you're going to start hearing more of, hey, donate to our Patreon in the upcoming episodes, and it's going to be closer to the front, not at the end where, it's like most people are like, oh, they're done, click, and then they miss it. So we're going to, start making a little bit of changes here and there. So it'll be interesting to see how this year compares to the past years.
It will be interesting.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to say that I'm going to get that other post that I promised up soon. I'm going to go through all of our post pick of the weeks for 2017, and the people who submitted their images on the Facebook post, and get that on our website for everybody to be able to see. And once it is up, I will post it in our Facebook group, and I think it'll be some good conversation for next week. So look forward to seeing that too. All right. Is there anything that you guys wanted to bring up before we move to our weekly photo challenge, our post pick of the week?
Well, I should like to mention, I did a blog post.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
That I put on. And I called the post is called The Gap is Getting Smaller. And what it's basically about is the fact that there's a gap between DSLR photography and mobile photography.
Yeah.
And that gap, I think, is getting smaller and smaller with every iteration of iPhone or smartphone that comes out, because in my post, I mentioned the app called Focus, and it's spelled F-O-C-O-S. And what this app does to help bridge this gap is phenomenal. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the app, it's it only works on the iPhone 7 Plus, 8 Plus, and 10, the phones with the two lenses, because you have to take a photo in portrait mode in order for this app to see the photo and be able to work with it. So when you open a shot taken in portrait mode with this app, the first thing you see is the preview screen, and you can tap anywhere on that image to change the focus of the image. So foreground, middle, background, wherever you tap on that image, it's going to focus in that spot. And I thought that was really cool, because Lytro came out with a camera that, you know, took a picture and you can focus anywhere after the fact.
Yeah.
So we're getting that functionality on an iPhone. And where was I? What else could it do? It could you can actually change the aperture on it. Now, smartphones, iPhones, etc., have a fixed aperture, but you can change the depth of field with a slider on this thing. Wow. So when you put your finger on the slider, it'll basically go from I believe it's F16 down to F1.4, I think it is. Yeah, F1.4. And when you slide that adjustment, a thing pops up that shows you an aperture. It shows you the value and a graphic of the aperture ring. So when you're at F16, the aperture is closed right down, just like it would be in a DSLR lens. And then, of course, you slide it the other way to F1.4 to open it up. It shows it wide open. So I thought this was really cool, and it does it in increments of 0.1. So you can actually play with the depth of field. You can play with the focus. And if you really get into the app, you can start playing with the shape of the diaphragm. So some, you see some pictures with a nice bokeh in the background taken with a DSLR camera, and I think it just depends on the lens you're using. The shape of the bokeh can be a little different. This app lets you pick a whole pile of different shapes, and I believe that only works if you actually pay for the app. There's subscription models, or there's a one-time payment that you can put out, and then you've got it for life. And so I went ahead, and I don't like subscription things, so I went and paid for the darn thing, and it cost me, in Canadian dollars, somewhere around $13. But it's worth it, in my opinion.
Yeah. I did the same thing as you, Greg. I think it was $9.99.
Yeah. Yeah, so the gap that's getting bridged is getting bridged by computational photography. And that's what... You know, that's what these smartphones are doing with their portrait modes, whether it's the Google Pixel X, Pixel 2. Now, the Samsung doesn't have a phone that has portrait mode, but it does have a phone that, like, I think it's the Galaxy S8, or maybe it's the Note 8, or maybe both. I don't know. I'm not familiar with them. But you can actually tap to focus after the picture in those phones, I think. I just don't know that much about them. But with the iPhone, the blurred background in portrait mode is done computationally. It's not a natural, it's not an optical thing for the phone. It has to be done, you know, with the computer in the phone.
Yeah. With algorithms, right?
Yes. That's the word I was looking for. Algorithms. Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to have a look at this post, it's on my website called shotoniphoneonly.com. And it's not too, too long, but it's got some screenshots in there to describe what I'm talking about. I don't go into a ton of the different things that you can get if you pay for it. I think anything I show can be done with the free version. And I'm pretty excited about the upcoming update for this app, because they're actually going to incorporate different lenses in the app, like 135 millimeter lens, like that type of thing. They're going to somehow incorporate that into the app, and I don't know what it's going to do yet. I just saw a quick screenshot. I wish I could remember where I heard this, but it looked pretty cool. So I don't know when it's coming out, but I'm looking forward to that update. I'll likely be talking about it again when it comes out, after I've had a chance to play with it.
Yeah.
And then just to cap this article off, I was listening to a friend of mine, the Snowflake guy, Don Komarechka. He has a show called Photo Geek Weekly. And he was talking to a photographer named Martin Bailey. And so at the end of the show, Don says, what do you got coming up, type of thing. And Martin said he has these two lenses. They are, I believe, 85 millimeter lenses, both of them. They're both Canon lenses. He uses camera or Canon gear. And one of them is a 1.2 aperture, f1.2, and then I think the newer version, he said, was an f1.4. So he said he was going to take some pictures with them both and compare them and see how it goes. Well, then Don said, and Don's he's so smart, it's just unbelievable. He's a very technical, geeky guy. So he said that he has a test for Martin to try with these two lenses. He said to put them at maximum aperture, put them on manual exposure, point them to a white wall, and then take the shot. And he said it'll likely come out some shade of gray,
yeah,
which is what it would do, because the camera wants to meter at 18% gray.
Yes.
So then he said, now just slightly detach the lens to the point where it disconnects the contacts from the lens to the camera and take the same shot. And he said what happens is the resulting image is brighter when it's let me see here. The resulting image is brighter than if the camera cannot detect the lens. So if the lens is disconnected from the electronics, the image is slightly darker than it is if you just simply click it into place and take the same picture with the same settings. So Martin was kind of surprised at that. And Don said, Martin thought it had something to do with the aperture. And Don said, no, it's nothing to do with the aperture at all. It has everything to do with the incident angle of light hitting a CMOS sensor.
Oh.
So what it's doing is Canon is compensating for that with software. And they're not telling anybody. So that's computational photography in a DSLR that I bet you hardly anybody knows anything about.
Hmm.
And I thought that was very, very interesting, because there are probably some purists out there that may say, you know, portrait mode on an iPhone isn't real photography because it's all done with computers. Well, touche, because
right,
when you mount a lens on your Canon DSLR, it's actually doing some computations on its own.
Sure.
But they're just not telling you.
I thought
that was interesting.
I would say that most of the program modes are computational.
I would say they are. But I mean, that's processing, though, is it not? Like, would that not be considered processing? Because the camera has to process the image, right, in order to display it.
Right.
right? So, but this little tidbit that they're not telling us about, it's actually, you know, brightening the image when you don't realize that it's even doing that. You think that you're setting that aperture at a value, and that's what it is. But the camera is actually brightening that image just a little bit. Now, it's only about 2 to 3%. So it's not very significant, but it is noticeable if you were to bounce back and forth between the two images on your computer.
Yeah, so when you say the difference is just in the amount of light, not so much in, you know, because you can set the... You can set the parameters, and you will see the difference in the depth of field when you have it wide open versus, you know, almost all the way closed. But
yes.
But the light amount that they're, I guess, changing is what is noticeable when you take the lens off.
Yeah, like I'll quote Don here. He said, the difference is only about 2 to 3%, but when comparing the two images, it is noticeable, and the image is shifting its brightness when the camera can detect what the aperture is and then compensate for it. So when it cannot detect what the aperture is, because you've disconnected the electronics, the contacts, but the lens is still attached, the camera does not know what the aperture of the lens is.
Huh.
When you click it into place and it reads it, oh, okay, there's what the aperture is.
So you could basically put a piece of tape over this, over the connecting electronics part, and still use.
Oh yeah, because you could put a 40-year-old lens on these cameras and still use them.
Yeah, the manual lenses. Yeah. Okay.
But I just thought it was interesting, you know, to know that. Like when we're talking about computational photography, and all the emphasis seems to be on smartphones, when it's been happening in these big DSLRs, but they haven't been telling us.
Okay. Yep.
So I don't know. I just thought that was interesting, and so I thought I'd put that in my blog post. But you know what the Focus app can do is really incredible in how it can, you know, in your editing and how you want your images to look.
Yeah,
and just in the article I post screenshots of a picture I took of these two trees out front, and I got one really close to me and the other one's off in the background, and you know I show the difference in the focus and the aperture and how it behaves and all that. So computational photography, it's something that's not going away, and I think it's bridging the gap between mobile and what I call conventional photography.
And I'll have a link in the show notes for that.
Okay, good.
All right.
Oh, and I do want to mention one quick thing also about the Focus app, is that if you take a photo with the native camera app in portrait mode, you can edit it in Focus.
Oh, okay.
Yes, because it has to be taken.
You don't actually have to take it in the app, because Ruth took one that was... It turned out okay, but some of the edges didn't look like it was it seems like the camera was still having, it was kind of a weird image, and it was kind of hard to pick up. You know, I can understand where the camera would have trouble picking up what was foreground, what was background. So some parts were blurred that should have been clear as part of the foreground, but I was able to import it into Focus and manually select what part should be in the foreground, what part should be in the background. And it made it not significantly better, but it did help the image too.
Yeah, and Halide has the ability to shoot with the depth information as well.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work in Focus. Focus only picks up images shot with the iPhone native camera in portrait mode.
Okay.
So I tried that. I tried shooting with Halide with the depth information, and they don't show up in Focus.
Okay. Yeah, but let's say you're someone who uses the native camera to get to do a portrait mode, but you want to tweak it a little bit, you can actually tweak it a little bit in the Focus app.
Yes.
Because, like you said, because it gives you a little more control, and for that, that's part of the no. You could get that with the free version without having to pay for the extra.
Yeah, and, you know, you can use the camera function in Focus itself to do the same thing, like to take a picture with the depth information.
Cool. All right. Very cool. Yeah, I'll have that stuff in the show notes, and yeah, we'll go from there. All right. Anything else before we go to post pick?
One thing I want to mention. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
One thing I want to mention real quick, just because this is a free app, which I don't know how much longer it'll be free. I posted it to the Facebook group a little bit earlier today, called Black Cam, all one word.
Spell that.
And it's black and white only with built-in, and there's a lot of filters filled in.
What is it called again?
That you can actually do live previews.
What's it called again?
Sure, it's Black Cam.
Oh, Black Cam.
Yeah. And it actually, like I said, I posted it just earlier today in the Facebook group. I found it on one of those newer free apps notices. So normally, I don't know how much it costs normally, but it is free at least today. I don't know how much longer. I put in the group, I did put the link in for iTunes.
Very cool.
Yeah. And like I said, it's nice because it gives you the live preview of the black and white filters that you can try immediately. You have some control over the filters, but it just gives you a lot of different filters. One person, let's see here, Andy Garcia, said he's been using it for a while and suggests tried using the infrared filter. And it says it simulates and I'm not sure exactly what this means. I'm just kind of quoting Andy here, an 820 nanometer black and white high contrast image. I'm not that technical with the black and white images to know exactly what they're talking about, but no, they do give an example on the post too.
Okay.
In terms of how it looks, and it can make really stunning black and white images right there in the aperture. And the nice thing with the live preview is, of course, you're able to select it and see what it looks like before you hit the shutter button.
Nice. Very cool. All right. Yeah, I'll have that in the show notes too. All right, let me go ahead and hit this for our post pick of the week.
Post pick of the week.
All right, we have decided to extend our weekly photo challenge to another week, and give people an opportunity to try to work with it. I think there was a lot of confusion when we first announced what it was, because we did get some questions on Facebook about it. But so being that it was going to be for the new year, we decided we were going to have the theme be new. And I think that was confusing. So what we want is either something that is new in concept, or that may be new in age, you know, sort of like, it'd be like a new car as an example, or, a new baby, or, something, be creative with it. But I guess, use your imagination when you want to do something, take a picture of something that's new. But that is our current weekly photo challenge, and we are going to extend it for one more week, give everybody a chance to, take and run with it. But in the meantime, we are going to go to the well and go to Instagram. And Greg McMillan, it is your turn for post pick of the week.
And it was no easy task, as usual, because the photos in this pool under the hashtag Tiny Shutter, there's 39,933 posts.
Nice.
And oh, there's so many of them that are worthy of post pick of the week, but I only can pick one. So I have elected to go with one by Vicky Owen Chapman, and her Instagram name is Vicky iPhoto 52. And it's a photo of a oceanside scene in Oregon, and there's some big rocks sticking out of the sand on the shoreline, and then a couple of larger rock masses in the background with the ocean and whatnot, and a nice blue sky with some cloud formations. And I think what drew me to this was the fact that it's summer.
Yeah.
And like anybody else that has a cold winter, this would look so inviting. It's not a long exposure, but the way the sand, you know, the water is just lightly covering the sand, which allows it to reflect the sky in amongst the rocks on the shore. And it really looks cool. There's a couple of seagulls sitting on some of the rocks in the foreground, or actually about the middle of the image. And it's just a really good shot taken with an iPhone 7 Plus. And I tend to think that there was probably no editing done. So that makes it a little special too, because it's a really good shot that didn't need any more attention.
Yeah, very cool. What are your thoughts, Dave?
Yeah, what really drew my eye when Greg showed this was the color of the ocean itself.
Yeah.
Just that, not the, right past the first set of rocks, you get that bluish green look. And that to me was so striking. Just like I said, just the contrast between that and the kind of the brown in the foreground, the blue sky, just the whole color gradient there just kind of drew it to me.
Absolutely. And what are your thoughts, Matt?
Well, I'm always down for a good seascape image. I think the thing for me, like more than anything, more than the colors and the composition that I like about this is it. I've been here. So it kind of brings me back to that visit.
Yeah.
Which was, I was visiting a friend from college, so that was really good. And that visit was back before iPhones existed, so I don't have any iPhone shots of my own from this location, but I do have film pictures.
Yeah.
What is this film you speak of?
It's from the olden days.
You have to wipe it off, get that film off.
But this is where Cannon Beach is. In Oregon, it's probably like the most famous section of coastline, really, in Oregon. It's where there's like a bunch of like sea stacks and whatnot, just a smidgen off the coast or whatever. And it's a very, very popular place for photography.
Yeah. I, you know, unfortunately, I didn't make it to the coast, to the ocean while I was there last month. But, you know, that I, you know, just from being there, I think about, oh, so it looks so inviting. I, you know, you just want to go and walk around. And then I realized it was freezing cold when I was there. So most likely the the image does, you know, justice for the place, but not probably for the temperature of that area, depending on what time of year it was shot. But I really like this image. It's beautiful. You know, there's something about the ocean that is inviting. Not only is it, you know, majestic, but it's dangerous and also kind of soothing. So it's a lot of contradictions there, but, I think it's a good choice for our post pick of the week. So, all right. Well, congratulations, Vicky. You are post pick of the week. If you want to be chosen for post pick of the week, you have two options. One is to go on to our Facebook group and look for our weekly photo challenge. And, we give people 2 weeks to be able to participate. This weekly photo challenge, we're actually going into week number 3. We do that every once in a while when we think we should give people more chances to participate. And the other option is to go on to Instagram and use the hashtag TinyShutter, where you can also take a look and see the amazing images that were posted on Instagram by our listeners. So you have those two options. All right. Well, I think we're getting close to the end of our episode. Is there anything else that you guys have for us tonight?
I got nothing.
Nope.
Good to go here.
Woohoo. Good deal. Well, if I was prepared, I would have this pulled up. So let me go ahead and play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Barely.
Oh, Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right, you can check me out on Instagram, IM, and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Excellent. Dave, tell everybody where they can find you.
Sure, you can find me on Instagram and on Mission Pick as Prof Pod.
Greg, go ahead.
You can find me on Instagram. I am at Shot On iPhone Only, and on Twitter I am at Shot On an iPhone.
Very cool. And you can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find links to our show notes, our YouTube page, our Facebook page, and everything else by going to tinyshutter.com. Well, gentlemen, we made it.
Barely.
And
yes. Very true. Very true.
I think
we got to figure out how the pros are doing this.
Well, yeah.
But without having to pay all the big bucks.
Yeah, there you go. With that, if you would like to support our show, we would love that support. Go to tinyshutter.com and look for our Patreon link, and you can help us in producing this show, and we would love that. It'd be awesome if you would like to help out. That would be great. So, all right, I think we're done. So let me go ahead and get this ready. So, gentlemen, say goodnight to everybody.
Good night, everybody.
All right, everybody. Bye bye.
Night night.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Remember, it's better to tell the truth.
And that's no lie. Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
Barely.